Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Have you a Bible? Turn with us. I hope you've got a copy of God's Word. Mark chapter 10, verse 1. Mark chapter 10 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resorted unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your hearts he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." I want to preach a little while tonight, if God will help me. I'm going to take my time. I'm not going to try to rush through this. When is marriage Christian? When is marriage Christian? What does it mean to have a Christian marriage? I want to say it's more than a feeling. Amen. Is love enough? Is love enough to make a Christian marriage? I believe God has the answers to all that as Jesus was speaking here. And we think of love, a lot of times we think of romance, don't we? Amen? Romantic love, when a man, a woman comes together and Johnny goes over to Sally's house and begins to woo her and court her in romance and romantic way. He takes her some flowers and maybe a box of candy or something like that, try to win her heart. And we think of that as love. Sometimes we get together and they're sitting on the porch swing and they're swinging in the cool of the evening and you can hear the birds are chirping. And the next thing you know, they get real comfort with one another and they start listening for wedding bells. Amen. But the sad thing is in the world today that we live in, sometimes that world, that love that we hear in that, we hear in another situation for just a little while in a courtroom somewhere, we hear the sound of a judge's gavel, gaveling down, a pounding, and he says, "Divorce granted." Amen. It's sad in the world that we live. That's the real problem today that we have. And the reason we have that, because we don't know the mind of God. We don't know what God wants us to do in the day and hour we live. We don't understand the kind of relationship He wants us to have with one another. Amen? The kind of relationship it takes to build a strong relationship with God and with one another. Amen. I want to say, I'll tell you today straight up your face, if you try to make a marriage without God, you're wasting your time. Amen. Hey, you come to me and you ain't willing to be saved and live for God and try to live godly, then you want me to marry you and some fella or some girl. Hey, God, you're wasting your time. I'll tell you straight up. If you ain't going to love the Lord and put Him in the center of your marriage and make church a priority, you're wasting your time. Amen. You're backing up. Hey, you ask any of them I've married, praise God, I've told them that. Amen. They're wasting their time. We better get a hold of God. We better realize what this thing's really about. And we better realize that we need God to help us in these last days more than He's ever helped us before. But I want to say, if we allow Him to help us, praise God, the way that He's helped us before is sufficient. Because God's always got the right answer. Amen. Whenever you and your spouse ain't got the right answer, God's got the right answer. Amen. But we're living in a world today that's messed up. The real problem today is divorce. And it's even 50-some percent of church people are divorcing. Amen. It's a problem. And I want to say, the Lord Jesus says it, hey, you know, God didn't ordain this, man did. He said man was the one that made this provision. He said, because the hardness of your heart, Moses wrote this provision. Amen? Because we was hard-hearted to begin with. I want to say, I believe that starts way before we ever say I do. When we get our hard heart toward God, amen, we can't have a relationship with Him, and we can't have a relationship, now you listen to me, with anybody else. Amen. You can't have a relationship with the people that you work with. You can't have a relationship with the people that you live with. Amen. Whether it be mama, daddy, or your papa, or your grandma, or your aunts, your uncle, you can't have any kind of relationship outside of God. But when we get God in our heart, praise God, He makes that difference. Amen. So is love enough? No, love's not enough. Amen. As an old preacher said one time, he said, if you base your relationship, your marriage on love, he said, you're building on shifting sand. Amen. I was thinking about that. A lot of times, as little old young, where'd Landon go? I use Lila. I usually use Landon for my example. I use Lila. Lila's she's a young lady, and she desires a puppy. She sees this little old puppy, and oh, she just falls in love with it. Cutest little old puppy. Don't everybody love puppies? I always use this example because everybody loves puppies. But she said, cutest little thing. Boy, she just loves that little old puppy. And she said, oh, Daddy, please, please let me have his puppy. Oh, I love it, Daddy. Please let me have his puppy. Huh? Ain't that the way it goes? So Daddy kindly, after pleading and begging, Pat, the Daddy gives in, and Lila gets a puppy. Amen, cutest little thing. But the only thing about them cute little old puppies, they grow up to be great old big slobbering, eating nasty dogs. Amen. So a year or so down the road, that dog's that little old bitty, cute little old puppy, he's done grown up in a big old mastiff, and he's got a house and home, and he ain't that cute little puppy no more. So what happens is little Lila begins to fall out of love with that puppy. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Is love enough? No, love's not enough. They ask a question one time to a bunch of college students about the definition of love. And they had all kinds of, and I was reading through them, and they had all kinds of different definitions of love. But there was one in particular that stuck out in my eye. It said, they asked this young lady, a definition of love, and she said, love is a feeling you feel when you feel you're going to feel a feeling that you've never felt before. Amen? Did you get all that? Love is a feeling you feel when you feel that you're going to have a feeling that you've never felt before. Praise the Lord. Boy, they all jumped on that. Said, that's it. That's the definition of love. Amen. We finally got it defined. Let me tell you a little story. I was working one day down at Silver Line Plastics. We were putting a machine together in about lunchtime. Maybe not. No, I think about mid-morning. Because surprised me, my little wife called me. And she said, when I answered the phone, I knowed something wasn't right. Because my boss had called me into the phone office, and she didn't sound right. I said, what's the matter? She said, I got a question. She says, she was pregnant with Samantha, man, her firstborn. And she said, what does heartburn feel like? I said, what? She says, what does heartburn feel like? I said, it feels like your heart's on fire, like you burned up into your esophagus. Why? She said, well, I think that's what I've got. I've never had it before. Amen. Well, if it wasn't, hey, if you use that the definition that college student gave you, then praise God, she was in love. Amen. She was in love. Boy, she was just all there. Amen. And it was heartburn for the first time. I could give you other examples, but you know, you get the gist. Amen. That love is not all that it is, praise God, all that it's cracked up to be. Unless it's genuine, true love, praise God. I want to say there is such a thing as genuine, true love. And it's the kind of love that the God of glory tells us about here in our text. Now Jesus is speaking here, and He's talking about a divine purpose of God. Something that God purposed from beginning. A man and a woman complementary to each other in nature. In lives. In fulfillment. Amen? That it's, he said it's what it was. He said it's two people coming together. Amen? For the glory. And it's not for just to be good, but he said for the glory of God. Now we could go on and say, and talk about divorce and what divorce is and know that it's not right, but we all know that. And I know you say, well, Jesus said, you know, that you say, well, he's saying, well, we shouldn't ever get a divorce. So I know say situations that God don't expect you to stay in. Abusive situation thing. But he said, and he says over in Matthew chapter 19, verse 8, 9, if you want to look at that, he said, for fornication, praise God, he said, you need to get out of that. Because they've done started love relationship without you. Amen. And he said, you don't have to, but that's a different thing for a different story. That's the option of divorce. But praise God, we're looking at why we need a Christian marriage. Amen? A Christian marriage. We need to know what it is. We need to know how to attain to it. We need to be able to tell these folks that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, praise God, what God expects. Amen? And He expects it for them, and He expects it for us. You know, it's easy for us to say, well, bless God, that they ought to do such and that. Amen. But it's a whole lot harder when you bring it down to where we live. Amen. Christian marriage is a divine purpose of God. Amen. He says in verse 8 that we become one flesh. Amen. We become one flesh. And verse 9, he said, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Brother Andrew, what he's saying there, he said, if God tied the knot, praise God, ain't no man supposed to untie. Amen. Amen. If God's tied it up, praise God, then it's supposed to stay that way. Amen. Amen. Say amen or oh me. Amen. Amen. That's what he's saying. Praise the Lord. So we got to, but you know what's wrong? We got to start on the ground floor to make that work. We can't start up in the attic, praise God, and make it work. You can't start out if you've been married 4 or 5 years. Sometimes you can make it work out if both people get saved and they start pulling together like it's supposed to be. But buddy, it's a hard road to hoe till they get there. Got a lot of catching up to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what Jesus is teaching us here is a fundamental attitude. Amen. Toward marriage. What it's supposed to be. What it should be in society. And what it most assuredly should be in the church. Amen? Our fundamental attitude, praise God, should be that marriage is something that's meant to last. Amen? But it's at this point right here that we get off track. Because we take it too nonchalantly, praise God. God said this thing is supposed to be tied together and stay tied. Amen? Supposed to stay tied. And when somebody goes tearing it apart, praise God, it's not of God. Amen. So what is marriage? What's it for? I won't say it's not for pleasure or convenience. Amen. Say amen. It's not for pleasure or convenience. I've heard people say, well, preacher, she got married just to get out of that situation. It's the wrong reason to get married. Amen. Say, well, I just loved her so much, and well, that's not a reason to get married. Amen? Outside of God. When we say, you know what, God put us together, amen, from the very beginning, you can see God in our life. God was putting her in my life, and she was godly. She loved the Lord. She was trying to do right, and praise God, I was just drawn to that. Amen? That's the kind of, hey, praise God, listen, you wait till God gives you somebody. Amen. God puts you with the right person, you young people. Amen. When He does, it'll be right. You don't have to chase it, praise God. God will bring it to you. You go out there fishing for them, you might end up with an old carp. Huh? Yeah. One of them old mud-sucking carps. Just suck the life out of you. Amen. But praise God, if you wait till God sends you somebody, that right person, amen, it'll be the right person. Amen. So what's Jesus telling us here? He's saying that telling that Christian marriage is a physical and a spiritual union. What he's saying is it's a sacred thing. It's Godward thing. Amen. We should realize that marriage is a gift from God. Praise the Lord. So if we take Jesus serious and we look at what he says, and he begins to break it down for us, and we can begin to apply what a marriage should be. Amen. Number one, it should be permanent. Amen. They should have been amens all over the house. Marriage should be permanent. Amen. Don't get in it for just a day or two. Don't get it. You get in it for the long run. Let me give you an example. There was a lady named Helen and her fiancé, Tom. And there was a lady named Ruth and her fiancé, John. Now, these names have been changed to protect the innocent. Okay? So Helen was talking to Ruth, and they were both planning their wedding. And Helen said, you know, Ruth said, Tom have both been in households where divorce was there, and divorce wasn't pretty, and it brought a lot of unhappiness. So what we're going to do, we're going to take our time. We're planning a fall wedding, and we're going to do this thing right, and we're going to get to know one another in the right way, and we're going to just trust the Lord to help us and to lead us and to guide us into this thing so that we won't make the same mistakes. Well, Ruth says, well, now we're men, John's not going to do that. See, me and John, we're going to go ahead and get married. We've got this thing figured out. Because, see, we're still young, and we figure we go ahead and get hitched. We've been dating 2 months anyway. So we're going to go ahead and get married, and we're going to try this thing out. Are you getting married or buying a car? Say, we're going to try this thing out, see how it works. And if it don't work, you know, it need no hard feeling, we'll just get out. So they get married. Ruth and John they begin their life together, and it's not very long, Brother Bill, till little old minor things start coming up. Little old differences that they start having. But they've done decided that if this thing don't work, they'll just get out. So they don't try to fix those little problems, them little minor things that come up right away. 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, 11 months down the road, these little things have got into bigger things, and she's getting on his nerves, and he's getting on her nerves, he says, I'm right, and she says, I'm right, and before you know it, they married a year, and they're in divorce court. They said that, and then they say, well, you know what? This thing, it's an easy come, easy go. We'll begin a new life, no harm done. But they come to their selves in the courtroom. And the proceedings leading up to that courtroom venture. Amen. Where there's a lot of unhappiness, and there's a lot of sadness, and there's a lot of doubt, and there's a lot of guilt, and there's a lot of what is and should I's. Then that judge smacks that gavel and said, divorce granted. Amen. And all this unhappiness, all this stuff in their life goes with them on down the road. So guess who the partaker is of the next venture? Somebody that's already unhappy and already said in their mind that relationships don't work. Amen. But you have Helen. Her and Tom, they plan, they get to know one another in the right fashion. You know what that means? That means he goes and knocks on the door and asks her daddy, amen, if he can take her out. Ask permission to date his daughter. Hello? Amen. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Amen. Emily, if they ain't willing to knock on the door and ask your dad if you can go out, then you don't need them. Yeah. Amen. And when daddy says they can, then you go out and you respect her. She respects him, praise God. They go out, they do things together. They come in a decent hour. They go to decent places. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching now. I'm still in the book. Amen. And when it's all said, and she said, so they begin this relationship, and they begin to realize after a period, they had a nice fall wedding. Amen. Got there in the fall, had a pretty fall wedding, got married, and just like in Ruth's situation, wasn't very long, some little minor issues come up. But what Helen said after they talked to her, after she had been married for 10 years, They talk to Helen. They say, Helena, how's it going? How did you get to this far? And she said, well, them first few days and first few months, first couple of years, said they were some little minor things come up in our lives. But we got together and we communicated together and said, you know what? If we're in this for the long haul, we might as well fix these now so we can be happy later. She said, that's how we got through, praise God. We communicated together. We talked to each other. Praise God, those little things come up. We went to God. We went to each other. And we took care of them for the long haul. You see the difference? You see the difference? It's what I was talking about. But the attitude Jesus says you got to have in a marriage to make it work. Amen? The attitude that you got to have. Bruce said, well, if it don't work, we'll just get out and I'll find me another. Why do you want to ruin somebody else's life? You done ruined one. Amen? Get yourself right before you go and let God give you the next one if you're going to do it. Amen. But it's the attitude. She said, you know what? If it don't work, I'll get me another. But Helen had done decide her mind. She said, praise God. Her and her husband said, this thing's for life. Amen. We're going to stay together, praise God, to the end of the way. Amen. So when little old things come up, they didn't just blow up and pout and get mad for a week. I'll tell you, me and my wife, we've had some discussions. Amen. I ain't going to say we had arguments. I don't know if we ever had really had an argument. We've had some heavy discussions. But I don't reckon, you can ask her, I don't reckon we ever went to bed mad. Amen. Took care of them. Hey, I can't stay mad. I just say what's on my mind, I'm done. Amen. I don't take it to bed with me. Praise God, I need my beauty rest. Amen. Some of you others do too. Amen. The whole thing was the attitude that she had going in. You see what a difference it makes? The attitude going in, praise God, it'd be the attitude when you come out. And when you come out together in glory. That's the difference, amen. That's the difference in having a... Now, I know this ain't politically correct. Now, politically correct, they say, oh, you know, you go out there and you know, the back in the early 60s, you know, if it feels good, do it and it's all right. I won't say in the eyes of God, it's still wrong. Amen. It's still wrong to shack up. It's still wrong to live together outside of marriage. It's still wrong to commit fornication with somebody that's not sleep with somebody that's not your husband or your wife. Amen. I know that's not popular, but it's still godly. Amen. Still Godward. Amen. We need to keep ourselves pure. But what we've done, we've given in to this political correctness till we've made ourselves sick, literally. And I know it makes God sick. Amen. But he said this thing's supposed to be permanent. It'll never be perfect, but it's supposed to be permanent. Amen. Now I want to say they was no great big unsurmountable things that either one or Helen or Ruth, either one couldn't have worked through. They was no great big unsurmountable something that they couldn't have got together and worked out. But the attitude they had going in wouldn't allow them to work it out. You see what I'm saying? So when a husband and a wife, when a man and a woman come together and decide to be husband and wife, they need to decide, praise God, they got to be able to sit down and communicate. Amen. To work things out with the help of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now I'm still preaching, we're on Christian marriage. What a Christian marriage is. Amen. Still in the book. I'm just telling you what Jesus is saying. Amen. So we see that it's permanent. In other words, that's that part of that vow, as long as ye both shall live. Amen. What it's supposed to be. I know today in the world we live in, that ain't politically correct, but that's what it's supposed to be. And with our attitude toward marriage, praise God, we can make it happen again. Amen. So we see it as permanent. And we see that it takes more than human will. Amen. Human will is not sufficient. Amen. It takes God. We know. Hey, listen. I know human will says, you know what? When two people get married and the grooms are standing up here and they got a preacher up here and that bride's back there and she's the prettiest that she's ever been or ever will be. Amen. I'm serious. She decks up the best she can. Now, you know, that's the way the city's going to be. Amen. That new Jerusalem coming down from God, that's what they're talking about. Decked up as a bride for a glory, for her bridegroom. Amen. The best, praise God, he'll ever be when we get there. Praise the Lord. But that bridegroom, that bride, she's back there. The bridegroom's up here, and she's back there. And I don't believe there's a one of them that stands back there in that door getting ready to walk through there when I hear that dun, 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 dun. I don't believe there's a one that says, boy, I'm going to get up there, I'm going to marry that rascal, and next month I'm going to kick him out and get me another. Huh? I don't think there's anybody that starts out that way. But we don't start out with the right attitude. And praise God, no matter what happens, next week, next month, next year, or 20 years now, we're still going to be together. Because it's ordained of God to be that way. What I'm saying is we're making a commitment. But see what's wrong with the church world today? We can't make a commitment to God. How are we going to make a commitment to a mate? If we can't make a commitment to a holy and a righteous God, how are we going to make a commitment to that that mate that we choose for life? We can't. Amen? So what do we see? We see that a married love, the kind of love that we need to have is rooted in a holy purpose of God. Amen? It's His purpose that married people get married and stay married. And it should be treated as a sacred thing. That is what true love is. That's genuine love. Amen? That is genuine love. Amen? We can see that. You know where we see that at? Jesus, in Jesus' creation here, when He tells us about the creation. And Jesus said, verse 6 says, but from the beginning of the creation. What verse 5 he says, for the hardness of your heart, He wrote you this precept. Matthew 19 and 8 goes on to say, but from the beginning it was not so. It said God didn't design it to be this way. He created Adam and Eve and put them together and meant for them to stay together. She was to be that helpmeet, praise God, to help him, to encourage him. He was to watch over her, protect her, take care of her. Praise God, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's Christian marriage in the eyes of God. Amen? A man that would let something come on his wife and beat her down and destroy her, he ain't worth the bread he puts in his face. Amen? He ain't worth it. A man won't stand up for his wife. Amen? Just throw that in there. But he goes on into creation count. He says, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Boy, that throws the old LGB, whatever they are, off track, don't it? Amen? He made a man and a woman to be together. Now listen to what he says. And for this cause shall man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. That means to be woven together, to glue together with her. Amen? But now look at verse 8. He tells us how we do that. Now I'm talking about true, genuine love. Are you listening? Now you need to get this, because this is God's mathematics of true love. Now, God's mathematics and man's mathematics don't add up. You can't come up with the same thing God does. Because He said, and they, verse 8, He said, they twain, that's two, shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. So what He says, in God's eye, come here, honey. Come here. In God's eye, God says, okay. He said, here's one me. And He said, here's one her. Amen. One plus one. He said, we come together. He said, we're still one. He said, praise God. Hey, when you look at me, you look at her. When you look at her, you see me, praise God, because we are one. God's mathematics, praise God. He said, in a marriage relationship, one plus one equals one. You said, amen. But He don't stop there. He says one plus one equals one. And when those two come together, praise God, they go to the hospital one day, sometime another, after about 9 months, and out comes something. And you know what it is? Boy, I thought about this the other day. I opened the door and took me a shouting fit. Have you ever noticed, you go to the hospital, have you ever noticed what they call a baby? They say, oh, look at that little one. Glory be to God. Amen. One plus one equals one. Praise God. And in mama and daddy, they have one. Amen. That person becomes another individual. Praise God. Amen. So one plus one, even with the little one, still equals one. Mom and daddy. Praise the Lord. That's God's mathematics. Praise the Lord. You see what we're missing at church? Amen. Because see, when little Junior's gone off to college or to the Air Force, the Marines, or wherever he goes, Mama and Daddy's still there. And guess what? Mama and Daddy's still one. Amen. Little Johnny, he'll go off somewhere and he'll find him a little Sally or a little Jane somewhere or another, and they'll start a relationship. They'll finally get married, and those two, one plus one, will become one. Amen. I've got to get my sister-in-law. She's a big math teacher. Teaches all these algebra and physics and all stuff. I'm going to ask her, said, you know, who can take one and one, add it together, and still get one? Amen. Let her scratch on that for a day or two. Only God can do that. Amen. Why? Because He's God. Amen. So what's that teaching? He said, what God's tied together, praise God, it stays tied. Amen. It's united. It's entwined together. Praise the Lord. What's He talking about? He's talking about single-mindedness. We become one heart, one mind, one accord. We become one person. Amen. I've been in my wife so long, now I start to say something, she'll answer me before I get it out. Huh? Probably because I'm so simple, she don't have to think much. But praise God, it's God. Why? Because we've been together 33 years. Right at it. Amen. Almost. Yeah, I guess it is 34. It's November. But that's God. That's what He puts together. Amen. So that is what, that's genuine love. He's speaking about genuine love. Amen. You know, it's permanent. And it's more than human will. It's coming together according to God's will. That singleness of mind. And that's where we get our power. Listen to me. That's where your strength comes from. Because she compliments him. He compliments her. Praise God. And there's a strong bond there that you can't break. Because you go mess with her, you're going to have to deal with him. Amen. And you go mess with him, you're going to have to mess with her. Amen. You're going to have to fight too. The devil's got double duty to pull, praise God, when he tries to pull it apart. God had a plan. Amen. Hey, Brother Rex, he knew us men didn't have enough sense to quit when we should. Amen. To listen when we should. So he put somebody there and say, honey, we might not go a different direction now. Amen. And you say, well, okay, you know, that sounds reasonable. Amen. So what's he saying? He says two belong together as one. Amen. It comes together. And we've got it in the world today. We're messed up. Because I love you don't mean I love you. Huh? Amen. I can say I love you, but I'm not, but a lot of times that's not what we're saying. What we're saying in the world today, most people, when they say I love you, what they're actually saying is I love me, but I want what I can get from you. Huh? Huh? Now I'm straight up. That's what they're saying. Most of these little old people that you run around with, praise God, you better be careful. Because when they tell you little old girls, I love you. It's not they love you, they love me. They say, I love me and I want what you got. I want what I can get from you. Whether it's your body, your money, your whatever. Amen? We got to be careful. Because we need to know what love is. Amen. Genuine love, praise God. It's something from God. Amen. It's something ordained. Amen. From God Almighty Himself that He puts together. Amen. I'm afraid we miss it. You know, Forrest Gump got it right. I hate to say it, but in that movie, he told Jenny, he said, I know what love is, Jenny. But he portrayed it all through that movie. No matter what happened, no matter how mean she treated him, praise God, he still loved her. And when she got sick, he still loved her. Even though he took care of her till she died. Amen. Why? He portrayed a genuine love. I know it's a movie, but hey, and his mama was teaching about God, about how things are supposed to be. So he went, hey, praise God, I'm glad at least they portrayed something that come from the right source, that gave him the help he needed. So when he portrayed it, at least he portrayed it right. Amen. He stayed with it the way it's supposed to be. I got to think about it. I told my wife today. She said, you know, in that movie, whenever they was all drinking, he never partook. When they was chasing after women, he never chased after women. Never did. He lived. Why? Because there was something different about him. You say he was crazy. He's not touching the head. But what we got to have, genuine love, praise God, it makes us a little bit different. Amen. I ain't endorsing the movie by no means. But I'm saying, praise God, there is such a thing as genuine love. And it takes genuine love, praise God, to have a genuine loving relationship. Amen. Because we don't. Amen. We mess up. It's about me wanting you and not about us having each other in a loving relationship. Amen. I want to enjoy what you got, but I don't want to be identified with you. We're living a day and hour and women aren't even taking their husband's name no more. Huh? Oh, I want what you got. I want to share with you, but I don't want to identify with you. I believe a whole lot of the church is like that. Just, Lord, give me. Bless me all you can. But I don't want to go around telling people I'm a child of God. Don't want the identity. So that gets us into the life sign. The thing that they would call in a marriage relationship, what they call a freedom compact. Have you heard that? A freedom compact. That's where we say, I want to still be able to continue doing what I want to. I want I want to remain, Brother Jeff, I'm in a relationship with my wife, but I want to remain my own individuality. And these psychologists, they said, oh yeah, it's important in a marriage relationship, Brother Bill, that you retain your own individuality. And that your wife, Miss Peggy, she retains her own individuality. That's straight out of the pits of hell. Amen. It's straight out of the pits of hell. You can't do that. Because what you're doing? You're living separate lives. Amen. You know what? Living a separate life leads to separate lives. Amen. Where's the oneness in that? Where's the Bible in that? Amen. Somebody needs to take the book, open up and say, you crazy quacks, would you just listen to God? Amen. Amen. Because you know what happens? You start out in a separate individual relationship. And before too long, the kids come along. And little Johnny and little Sally. And daddy runs after little Johnny. And mama runs after little Sally. And you individualize not only yourself, but your children. Huh? And the next thing you know, daddy separate himself, mama separate me, the children grow up and they go away. But where's mama and daddy? They're still living separate individual lives. Huh? And they look around one day and daddy looks around at mama and mama looks around at daddy and they don't even know who they are. They realize they're living in a house with a stranger. You see where God's at? He said a Christian marriage, praise God, is those that come together often. I mean, those that share, those that communicate, those that have a right relationship. Amen. You can't live individual lives and be right before God. Amen. Something that's one can't live as two. It don't work. It's at some place, somewhere. On the fringes, praise God, it's gonna come apart. We have to pull that back together under the envelope that God's give us. Amen. So we can have that right relationship. A marriage, a Christian marriage relationship, a genuine loving relationship. Amen. Because you know what? If you don't have that in your home, somewhere, sometime or another, one or the other is gonna find it somewhere else. Amen. 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 We human beings strive for affection. We want attention. And if we don't get it from our spouse, and if you go for weeks of time won't even talk to your spouse, they're going to find somebody to talk to them. And then next thing you know, let's talk about this over a cup of coffee. But you know, it's sad. I thought about this today. I was sitting there in the study this morning. It's sad that we can sit down over a cup of coffee and talk about things, sometimes intimate things, to a perfect stranger or a work acquaintance that we can't discuss with our own spouse. Why is that? Because we don't have that right relationship. We don't realize, praise God, that what I want to know, praise God, that they have the answer for, because God's put us together in unity. Amen. So we see this thing. It's not to be separated. It's supposed to be permanent. It takes more than just a will. Amen. And it can't be a separated thing. It's got an individual thing. It's got to be a united thing. Lest it fall, lest it fail. Praise the Lord. So in closing, what if we look at our vows? Have you ever thought about the vows you make when you get married? Let me just give you a couple of them right quickly. The vows we make. The preacher, he says, wilt thou? And then he goes through a list. I just want to look at three of them right quickly. He says, wilt thou love and cherish? We've looked at what love is. Love is a genuine love. It's a love that God gives. It's a Godward love to usward, amen, that we share outward with those around us. But he says to love and to cherish. You know what a Webster's 1828 dictionary says about the word cherish? We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where he talks about the cherish one another, to love each other. But it means to treat with tenderness and affection and give warmth, ease, and comfort. Amen. So he said we love with a genuine love, a godly love, and said we treat with tenderness, affection, give warmth, ease, and comfort. So we ask that question, will you love them and cherish them? And then we go on and said, forsaking all others, keep thee only unto him. Forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her. Amen. That means you forsake out that nobody else is important. Not that we don't care about other people, but your spouse is the most important thing you have. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. I won't say that even supersedes the children. Amen. Because your spouse is still going to be there when the children are gone. Amen. I'm preaching it right. Then the last one, we already read and we're hearing, said, so long as you both, what? Shall live. And you, but at the end of that, you know what we say? I will. Amen. Will you love and cherish? Will you forsake all others, keep the only to him or to her? So long as you both shall live. And you say, I will or I do. Amen. It means the same thing. I will or I do. Amen. But what are we missing out? We're forgetting all about that after we get out of the chapel or out of the church or out of wherever we get married at. That should be a part of our life. That's a vow that we're making before God. So in a Christian marriage, amen, we realize it's a sacred union. First of all, it's a sacred union before God. It has a divine purpose, amen, to God and bring God joy. To fulfill with that little one the procreation, the creation, the sustaining of creation. Amen. He gives us an opportunity to be a part of that. Amen. That's the purpose. And it's ordained by God. God put it together. God sanctioned the first marriage in the garden when He put Adam and Eve together. So what is a Christian marriage? A Christian marriage is one that's ordained of God. It's divinely, it's got a divine purpose, amen, and it's a sacred union. It's brought together in the eyes of a holy God. So when people ask us, how serious is a wedding? It's a very serious thing, amen. It's a very serious thing, amen. That's why people ask me, they say, well, will you marry us? I say, are you saved? No, we're not saved. I say, well, you need to get in church, you need to get saved. Then come back and see me. You say, well, preacher, that ain't right. You ought to marry them. No, I ain't going to marry them in their sin. They won't stand a chance. I tell them, I said, it won't work. Amen. It won't work. You're wasting your time. Boy, their eyes get about that big and they puff up, go away mad. But I'm saving them a lot of heartache, a lot of grief. There's been several couples I've talked to, counseled with a little bit, and they decided they wasn't meant to be together. Praise the Lord. Amen. Diverted to catastrophe. Amen. Because it's a sacred thing, praise God, not to be taken. And I always read that part where it's not to be entered into lightly. Amen. Not to be entered into lightly. It's a sacred thing. We need to know this. You say, well, preacher, I'm already happily married. Love my wife. Praise the Lord. Thank God. But somebody will come along and they'll say, boy, I'm thinking about getting married, but I don't know. You know what to ask them. And man said, are you saved? You realize this is ordained to God? Are you ready to go at it for the long haul? Amen. They say, well, you know, I'm going to try it out and see if it works. I'd say, buddy, you better just go on down the road. Because I told a fella that one day, I said, you just need to go on down the road because all you're going to do is wreck that little old gal's life. Amen. If you ain't making a commitment to God, you ain't made a commitment to her, you might as well forget it. It'll never work. Amen. I went to a wedding one time, and I was out with the groom, and the bride was getting ready. We was on the other side of the building, and there's a couple of young girls come along, and the groom was there, and he was all puffed up. You know, he was all good looking there, or handsome in his tux and all that. Him young girls come along, they was talking to him, yeah, and he was like, yeah, he said, yeah, I can't wait to get this thing over with. I thought, God help. He don't even realize what he's getting into. You reckon it'll work? He was trying to impress those girls on his wedding day. Reckon they'll stay together? I doubt it. I doubt it, because the only thing that should have been on his mind was that little old gal waiting, getting ready on the other side of the building. That should have been other than the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty. The most precious thing on his mind that day should have been that little old gal waiting on the other side of the building. Amen. But the reason we can't make it work, praise God, is because we've missed God. Amen. God ordained this thing. God set it up. He tells us what Christian marriage ought to be. Amen. And praise God, when we miss that, so many times we think, well, you know, I'm in love, when I think it's just heartburn. Man, you just took a Tums and went on your way. Amen, I'm serious. Should have just took a Tums. My daughter, I told me and her talked this about this. Amen. Thought she was in love. Tried to talk to her. She went down the wrong road. Guy took off after a little while. Left her sitting over in the house by herself. 6 weeks, we didn't even know it. If I could got my hands on him, I found out, I'd have gotten the flesh. Amen. But she looks back on it now and she said, Daddy, I should have listened to you. Thought she was in love. Thought he was in love. Should have just give her a Tums. Amen. Just tried to give her a good talking to, but it didn't help. We've got to be careful. Our emotions will get a hold of us, and our emotions will drag us in. Amen. But we need to make sure what we're getting, praise God, that it's of God. And we need to make sure, settle it in our mind and in our heart, that this thing is permanent. It's forever and forever, amen. Till death does us part, amen. And thank God for law, because my wife would have killed me if it hadn't been for law. Amen. Praise the Lord. She said she had never even thought about divorce. We talked about that before we got married. But she said, I thought about killing him a time or two. Amen. No, we've had a good relationship. But it's because of God. Amen. It's not us. It's God that put it together. Amen. It's God. Well, I appreciate it. Ain't you glad God lays it out for us? Makes it so simple. Even these little children can understand it. He said, what God put together, he ties up. He said, ain't no man supposed to cut it loose. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.